Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
The film Running from Crazy chronicles the life and times of Mariel Hemingway, the great-granddaughter of Ernest Hemingway, as she comes to terms with her family history of suicide and mental illness. The film will screen Saturday, March 28th from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Mehewe Performing Arts Center in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. It's being presented by the Erickson Institute for Education and Research of the Austin Riggs Center, along with the Berkshire International Film Festival. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Mariel Hemingway to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you with us. What set you down this path of wanting to explore this in the first place?
Well, it wasn't really something I was super excited to do, but a friend said to me, we're very close friends, she has a very similar sort of upbringing and background, and she was running the OWN network at the time, and she said to me, you really got to do a documentary on your family's story. And I said, what are you, out of your mind? They're all crazy. She said, that's the point. I wasn't totally sold. But then we interviewed a lot of directors, and my friend who was doing the interviewing after a couple of years met with Barbara Koppel and said that she was interested. And that piqued my interest because I thought, well, you know, if anybody's going to do this and do it well, Barbara can do it. So I met with her, and then I started this journey. And then it turns out what's great about it is that it's kind of become my passion. I had no idea that, you know, actually telling my own story would help so many other people be able to tell theirs and realize that, you know, mental illness, addiction, suicide, it's something so many of us deal with. And, you know, so it's been an incredible journey. And now I have two books out. They launch in April 6th, actually. Out Came the Sun and Invisible Girl, which are similar stories, but they're really my journey of understanding at a deeper level the sort of addiction, mental illness, and what it's like to grow up in that, and you know, my own choices and all that stuff. So it's been incredible.
Given that it is so prevalent, given that since you have done this, so many people come up to you and want to talk about it, why do you think that it takes that to spur a conversation, and it's not something that we readily discuss otherwise?
Unfortunately, mental illness plagues more people than cancer, than AIDS, than most other diseases in all countries, everywhere, and it has for many, many years. The problem is the minute you deal with an imbalance of the brain, you know, when somebody's moods are different or, you know, whatever, and those things are not what we consider normal, there's tremendous fear and stigma. People don't want to talk about it because there's a feeling that you've done something wrong, as opposed to looking at it like the disease or illness that it is. And then once you determine an illness, you can find a solution. And I believe that there are many solutions. I don't think they're just, you know, drug solutions. I think there are, you know, lifestyle solutions. There's lots of ways to be able to find the personal journey that works for an individual. But, you know, unfortunately, people just are so afraid to talk about it. But that said, I think this film, I think we're kind of at a tipping point. I speak all around the country to so many different organizations and foundations for, you know, supporting addiction and mental health and mental illness and all that stuff. And we're getting better. You know, it's going to take the time that it takes, just like it took a long time for people to be able to talk about cancer and AIDS and you know, alcoholism and all that stuff. So,
right.
You know, you just keep talking until people just go, oh, okay. You know, and the truth is, the reason why I told my story is because it's not a unique story. So many people, you know, have similar stuff in their family because we're complicated. You know, human beings are flawed and we're not perfect and, you know, and all that.
So what did you learn about your family and about their situation that directly impacted you?
It all directly impacted me. I mean, I didn't grow up in a different family, so it impacted me in good ways. You know, being the granddaughter of one of the greatest writers of all time is an extraordinary honor. It's it gives you a perception of the world that is unique and different. And then there's the element of, you know, being fragile-minded because of addiction. Because I think a lot of the problems in my family have to do with self-medication because they don't know how to deal with their sorrow, their fear, their pain, whatever it is. Right. So addiction becomes kind of the catalyst to a deeper mental illness. So I just knowing these things about my family, it makes me realize that I need to make different choices. You know, I have to make choices in my life that really stabilize my ability to be balanced and healthy. And, you know, I'm sort of an extreme health person. And because I know that works for me and it keeps me happy and it keeps me full of energy and, you know, all that stuff.
I was fascinated in the film because you do make that connection, and it's one, and maybe it's why it's often difficult to talk about it because these things are so linked to one another. But when you talk about addiction and then the idea of self-medicating, and then you're dealing with a mental illness, you're dealing with fear and anxiety and stress and depression, and through the medication, whether that be drugs or alcohol, and then which could lead to suicide. So all of these things are linked, and it's a big jumble, and it's not really clear.
Well, yeah, that's the complicated part of mental illness. But my sort of I'm driven to make people realize that it is a very it is complicated, but it's also an individual journey. So what works for me may not work for you, may not work for my daughter, may not work for so and you know, doesn't matter. It's about finding those things that enable you to find a place where you can make better choices. You know, a lot of people they feel their hands are tied. They don't know how to make choice. They don't even know how to make choices because they're in such a dark place. But that said, you know, once there's an understanding that that's there, people can start to, you know, change, talk, get help. And there's so many different ways to get help. And that's just, you know, there's no easy answer. There's no, you know, there's no simple solution. But I enjoy, you know, I'm enjoying understanding more about my family because it helps me to understand more about myself. It helps me to dig deeper and find more ways to find good health and balance of the brain. I mean, I'm very interested in brain technology because I think that ultimately it is kind of a brain issue, but it's also body, mind, spirit. There's the effect that the body, you know, our food, getting light, you know, all of it, it all plays a part. So I find it fascinating, and so it keeps me going.
How aware, I guess, before the film, how aware were you of the clear picture as to what was going on in your family? I mean, obviously, I mean, we all think our families are crazy.
I mean, obviously, I knew that my family had, you know, addiction problems and there were many suicides in my family. I think what it did for me is it made me, one of the great things it did for me is it actually made me have such compassion, not only for family members, but for people I don't know. Really having an understanding, when you understand that people's pain comes from a place of complete darkness, a place where they can't even see outside the problems. They can't see beyond, you know, inches in front of their face. They just can't see. They can't see light beyond the tunnel. And having compassion for people in these places and you know, especially for my sister, because I was really, I hadn't realized how much she had suffered. I thought she was just, you know, an addicted person and didn't have any self-control, and it's hence why I was totally into control. So you understand that everybody's dealing with something, and the way that they deal with it is the way that they deal with it, and having compassion for that. I think that's the huge lesson for me.
Your sister Margot was 42 when she passed, and the family accepted this as a suicide. And I go ahead.
Is it, well, they actually didn't accept it as a suicide. Well, not until my father
right?
Died. Yeah, not initially. My father really. We were initially told by the coroner that it might not be a suicide, and my father listened to that, and he didn't. When we were told it was suicide, or when it actually came out publicly, he denied it, and nobody said anything. And it wasn't until my father passed from complications of heart bypass surgery, that I actually admitted on the stage and at a American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I was hosting the event, and I admitted that my sister committed suicide. And it's interesting. I mean, even in families where you know what the diagnosis is, you know how your people are, you know, still as human beings, we want to pretend like everything's okay, you know, and that ultimately just gets you in a place of complete confusion, and it doesn't work, and it doesn't work for long, and you eventually, you know, eventually I realized that telling the truth is such a powerful healing tool, telling the truth about your life.
Mm. You mentioned of wanting that feeling of control, and knowing that there were so many aspects of your family's life that was out of control. Does it make it easier to control your life, or is there always that worry that it will go out of control?
No, I mean, I've done so much work, and I've done something called brain state technology. Brainwave optimization is what it's called, and it balances the hemispheres of the brain through sound. That's been an extraordinary tool for me to help to find, you know, balance and happiness and joy. I didn't realize I was depressed until I wasn't, and I'd been depressed most of my life. So for me, I'm constantly digging in, trying to find the latest of great things that make you feel better, healthier, happier in, you know, body, mind, spirit. So for me, no, that is not an issue anymore, which is wonderful that I can say that, because I didn't realize that would be the case, you know, not so many years ago. But I owe a lot to my partner, Bobby, who's in the film. Who gets kind of thrown under the bus, but yeah. but he's a really good guy, and he's really introduced me to things that have changed my life and for the better, and made me happy and balanced and stuff like that. But that's what I want to encourage other people to do, is find their unique path towards their own recovery, their health, their balance, and all that stuff.
Well, the Erickson Institute for Education and Research of the Austin Riggs Center, along with the Berkshire International Film Festival, will have a community event on suicide stigma and mental health on Saturday, March 28th, with a screening of the film Running from Crazy. It's taking place at the Mahawi Performing Arts Center, again, Saturday, March 28th, from 2 to 5 p.m., and you can find out more by going to mahawi.org, mahawi.org. Again, the name of the film is Running from Crazy. The two books are coming out April 7th. Mariel Hemingway, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us.
Great. I look forward to seeing everyone on Saturday.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay,
and again,
you
can find out more information by going to mahawi.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.